Once when the Pope was in the United States for a visit, he had a meeting that ran late and desperately needed to get to the airport. And unfortunately, his Popemobile had broken down, and so he called a limousine. When the limousine arrived, the driver was pleasantly surprised to see it was the Pope and was very nervous to drive him. So he began driving very slowly. The Pope, knowing that he might miss his flight, said to the driver, "Could we please speed up?" And the driver said, "I'm sorry, I can't. You're the Pope." And he was so filled with nervousness that he couldn't even control what speed he was going. So the Pope finally said, "Well, could you please pull over and let me drive?" So they switched spots, and the Pope began to drive himself to the airport so he could get there on time. He reached a speed of 85 miles an hour, where the policeman clocked him and subsequently pulled him over. And when he discovered this famous person behind the wheel, he frantically called his police chief, not knowing what to do. He said, "Chief, I have stopped a very important figure for speeding. I don't know what to do." The chief responded, "What do you mean? Give him a ticket." "Sir, in all honesty, I can't." "Why can't you? The law is the law. Who is it anyway that you stopped? Is it the mayor?" "No, sir." "Is it the governor?" "No, sir." "Is it a congressman? Is it the president?" "No, sir." "Well, then who is it?" "I don't know, sir, but the Pope is his chauffeur." We are given in all three readings this weekend a lesson on humility. And humility, first of all, means taking a back seat to the one who wants to be the driver. And that is God. You see, it's a popular notion in our society that we set ourselves up as gods, that we determine our future and we determine our direction. And as always, with all of Satan's lies, there's an element of truth in it. We do have a decision to make. But if we are creatures, that means God is in the driver's seat. St. Thomas More once put it this way: "I think there are few men, though they dare not be so bold as to admit it, who don't imagine that if they had been God's advisor in the creation of the world, they could have made it better." How many of us try to advise God on how he does things, or think that we can do it better than God? "If I were God, there'd be no sickness or no murder or no terrible things in the world." Ah, but any of you who are parents know this doesn't work. You try to raise your children the best you can. You try to teach them right and wrong. And what do they still do? They still make bad choices. Now you know, as parents, when your children disobey you, how God must feel when we disobey him. This past month, I was on summer vacation with my brothers and brother-in-law and my nephews. And one of my nephews in particular, the first morning we'd spent the night camping out, and we were all ready to go on our vacation the next morning. We were going over to Mount Rushmore National Park. It would be the first time any of us saw Mount Rushmore. And I remember walking into the park. One of my nephews was throwing the biggest fit. And I remember thinking, "Dude, you're about ready to see Mount Rushmore for the first time, and you're throwing a fit." You know, and little kids do that. They don't get enough sleep or whatever. But I remember thinking to myself, two things. God bless my parents who took us on summer vacation, right? And how God must feel sometimes when we gripe and we complain and we don't obey. Our second reading reflects what our attitude should be towards God. It says, quote, "You have not approached that which should be could be touched. No, you have approached Mount Zion, the sitting of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and countless angels." Do you have a sense of awe towards God? Do you have a sense of trembling in his presence when you come up to receive communion today, that you are holding in your hands or on your tongue the God of heaven and earth? God is beyond us, but do not make the mistake of thinking that he is inaccessible to us. Secondly, in humility, the humble person is willing to accept instruction. How many of us hate being corrected? A funny thing happened last night. Right as we were getting ready to come out, one of the servers had their older brother say, "Well, you need to do this way." And the little sister said, "I know," real sassy, you know, like little sisters do. And he just kind of rolled his eyes, you know, like, "She won't accept instruction from me." You see, the humble person is willing to accept instruction. It's interesting that in the first reading it says, the mind of the sage appreciates proverbs. Now, to us, that might mean very little, but a sage was the smartest guy in town, okay? So it's interesting that the smartest guy in town appreciates proverbs. Remember, proverbs are sayings, wise sayings. You see, the smartest guy in town didn't get to be the smartest guy in town just by being that way. It's because he listened to advice. And if the smartest guy in town likes to hear proverbs, likes to hear advice, what should that say to us? If you are humble, you accept help and you accept advice. Lastly, humility does not seek out earthly honors. Our gospel says, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Now, there's a little bit of a trick here, because the one thing I notice with our youth is that a lot of our parents push our youth to achieve, to be successful. And that's not bad. But the key is how we go about achieving success in this life. Do we do it for our own glory? Are we exalting ourselves? Are we the one who wants the crown, or do we want the crown for God? Do we want to be a good steward of the gifts he's given us, or do we want to be a self-made man? A lot of times we tell our kids to do better at sports and to do better at their academics. And one question that I always ask our high schoolers when we're sitting down and reviewing their grades, I don't look at whether they got an A. I ask them, "Are you doing the best you can with the gifts God has given you?" Because that is the nature of stewardship. This past week, I was watching football, and they had a little segment on Aaron Rodgers and how successful he was, and they were arguing that he was one of the most successful quarterbacks in the NFL. And I couldn't help but wonder, if I had a chance to be there and ask him, who would he give the credit to? Would he give it to his training, to his time spent in practice, to good coaching? Or would he give the glory to God? So are you humble? Do you have true humility? To answer this question, consider first, do I act as if I am God, determining my own future? Or do I let God determine it? Whose will is more important to me, mine or God's? Second, am I willing to take instruction? Am I okay with being the student and not the master? And if so, do I place myself daily in the classroom? And lastly, what do I consider success to be? A six-figure income? A football scholarship? A nice car? Miley Cyrus? Or is success something else? Good stewardship of the gifts that God has given me, and placing those gifts at the service of my neighbor and of God.